This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Theragun CBD, Raycon, Tushy, HelloFresh, and Upstart. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it. Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you sign up for the YouTube channel. You get video every Tuesday of all these episodes. We've had some wonderful guests. We've got a lot more coming your way. And make sure you subscribe to the Patreon channel, all right? It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and I am doing these type of episodes with y'all, okay? So far, we've talked to a girl who had two pussies. We've talked to two people who've killed people in self-defense. We've talked to a guy that died. We have talked to a guy that got stalked for a murder he did not commit. I mean, we have had some stories. It's $5 a month, okay? You guys always say, hey, do two a week. I can't always do two a week, but I am doing two a week now. And the other one is on Patreon. It's sick. There's no tiers or any of that bullshit. It's just $5. And you get an extra episode every week. So $60 a year and you get 52 episodes. You know what I mean? It's like a buck and some change an episode. So that's a Patreon. And then the website is thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's where you can subscribe to the Facebook page. That's where you can go get the merch, okay, Nightpants Nation. Thank you so much. I hope you're comfortable. The night shorts are out there now, y'all asked for. These mugs, they were out of stock. They're coming. All of it's there. And as you know, I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. If you live here in L.A. or anywhere in the country, you can still get musical lessons. You can still get instruments. You can get your online classes from LA musicians here. Go to santamonicamusic.com. Use the code Honeydew. They will waive the registration fee and give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right? That's the Santa Monica Music Center. You know we got love for them. Now, you know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. And as I say all the time, these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, very excited to have our storyteller here. I'm sure the Santa Monica Fire Department that saw her titties earlier is equally as excited. Ladies and gentlemen, Jessamay Palooza. All right.
They didn't see all the titties. You can't give it away off the jump. They only saw something holding the titties,
they
which
saw
was my bra.
Flesh cut, but from a distance.
That's the only way to look at titties. You just have to appreciate them from a distance until you can earn being up close. That's how you have to do it. That's
so then the other dude across the street walking saw that.
Yeah,
and he just looked up and I said, look at him. I said, what's going on? You were like, oh, summer titties.
You are not a woman unless you flash the fire department. You have to let them know you appreciate them. And that's what I was doing.
You're a lot of fun, girl. all right, we have a lot to talk about.
We do. I sent you quite a list.
You did. Before we get into it, please promote everything you want to promote. Everything.
You can book me on Cameo to break up with your boyfriend, your mother, your stepdad, your cousin. I'll sing you a song. I don't show my tits or my butthole. Not yet. I haven't gotten that desperate yet, but I'm not counting it out because you know what? Some bitches are paying their rent with their toes and their butthole, and I appreciate the hustle. You can join my Patreon fan club page, The Fun House. It's on patreon.com/JessieMayPaluso. I am really available on Cameo. Have you done Cameos yet?
No, they keep asking me to do it, but
it's fun.
I can't bring myself to
it's
do it.
It's so much fun.
I can imagine being you. It would probably be a lot of fucking fun, but nah.
I've welcomed a lot of babies and I've.
Have you really?
Yeah. And I've taught husbands the cunnilingus tricks.
Have you?
Yeah.
What about breakups? Is that real?
I haven't done breakups.
You
no.
But you will. You would?
I think it's hilarious. I mean,
you would call a dude and be
it?
Like, listen.
Sugar Ray? Sugar Ray did the breakup. That was like where Cameo became popular.
Oh, that's what it was?
I know. That's your job. You got to break up with somebody. Okay. But I think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I appreciate other people who do it for sure. What else do I have? Oh, my Sharp Tongue podcast. You can listen to me on that. Bam, Bong and Movie. It's my YouTube show where I get stoned and watch a movie and I'm like the director's commentary, but I'm stoned and I've never directed anything in my life. I just love movies and weed. So that's available every Friday. A new movie comes out. What else? I am Instagram. And I'm here with you.
You are here with
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I have a book coming out, but that's going to be a hot minute about all my right. dad, which we will get to.
Yes. I do want to definitely yeah. talk to you about that. So, look, I tell me, let's start this because you have such an a specific focus here that I really do want to talk about that. But where are you from originally?
Upstate New York, Syracuse.
All right. Upstate New yeah. York. And you said, and what mom, dad, brothers, sisters? What's yeah, I your, have. What was your family like?
I'm the youngest of four girls
okay.
from two different marriages.
Okay.
And at one point, I had sisters from three different marriages going on between my mom and my dad and my mom and her new boyfriend and my dad and his daughters from before. So I've had every type of traditional family scenario within one lifetime.
Okay.
Like on Christmases, yeah. we'd go to literally about seven different houses. It was like the world tour of failed marriages.
Merry Christmas! Not to all of us, motherfucker. Not to all of us.
I mean, baby's first Christmas. How many fucking times are we going to do this?
So you were not your dad's first child?
No, I was his last.
So you weren't even in the first group of your dad's kids. The first failed marriage.
I wasn't even in the first failed yeah. marriage. No, I was second best. Always.
You're silver.
Yes.
But of the silver group. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I was the youngest of all girls. My dad, my mom and dad got separated when I was nine and divorced. I don't even know if they got divorced. The dude's dead. There still might be a marriage floating around in there somewhere. But yeah, I was the youngest of four girls and grew up in a very strange upbringing where it just was, it showed me that failure is around every corner in relationships.
But what did it? But what did it teach you? It showed you that, but what did that also teach you?
It well, from a really realistic and psychological level, it taught me to be comfortable in chaos, which can be useful, but that's toxic.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
In chaos, when you've had moments of chaos in your life, like, does it slow down for you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It definitely. I feel comfort in it. I've definitely felt comfortable in, not that it comforts me, but I have felt comfort in places where people normally should not.
Sure.
So in a way, I had plenty of love. I always say that if my parents didn't love me, I'd be on a pole. Like I was one, you know, or two parents who didn't love me away from becoming a stripper. But because they loved me so much, all of the chaos sort of balanced itself out.
Mm-hmm.
That love is so important. And they didn't do the tug and pull that a lot of parents do in failed marriages where they use their children as a tennis ball
right.
in their, you know, emotional racket.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely taught me that relationships should have some level of lacking respect, of lacking a healthy balance between two people. Because I witnessed a lot of, you know, disrespect between people, a lot of language that shouldn't be said between two people who supposedly love each other and have children. And not just between my mom and dad, between, you know, other family members. So it definitely taught me that a regular relationship is unhealthy and an unhealthy relationship is normal.
Right.
So I struggled through that for years.
Yeah. And then you learn, that's the hard part for me too, is I learned to actually thrive in the chaos.
Yeah.
And once I realized, well, wait a minute, if we can figure this fucking chaos out, we could probably do even way better. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take that junior varsity to varsity.
Well, that's where comedy came in for me because I didn't know how to thrive in the chaos. So I just found out a way to divert it.
But it's so interesting what you said. You said I became, and it resonated with me as you said, I was like, huh. You said I became comfortable in situations where most people weren't comfortable. And stand-up is a situation where 99% of people on this planet probably would not be comfortable doing that. And for me, and I'm sure the same for you, it's no matter what shit I have going on in my life, when I am on that stage, it does not, for 15 minutes or an hour, it does not enter my brain for us, not even a millisecond, not even a millisecond. Yeah. So it is weird. And that's such an interesting thing that you say that, like, oh yeah, that's what stand up is all about.
It's exactly, it's complete chaos.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is the most chaotic thing in the world.
Yeah.
You've got a room full of people you don't know. You're about to divulge your deepest, darkest secrets if you're being truthful with yourself. Yeah, if you're appreciating the art and the craft that is stand up, you're wasting your stage time if you aren't divulging your demons.
I agree.
And that's not normal. If the only time that that's normalized in society is with a therapist you're paying, and we've chosen to use a room full of strangers
and YouTube.
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
I need your laugh on my phone.
People keep asking.
Did you hear that?
People keep asking me for a ringtone on my lap. But is that a thing? Do people use ringtones anymore?
Yeah, no, it's going. We're changing my ringtone.
They're coming back.
Yeah, we are going to, and I'm going to be in Trader Joe's or someplace. It's like, is there a pterodactyl in here? I thought I had a crazy laugh.
Is there a dolphin in the back of it? All right, so I do want to get into this because you say as a young age, so we're talking about you growing up, and you say you had many Me Too moments from a young age. So
yeah.
I know you are comfortable talking about it, so I'm not going to ask you if you are because I already
did. I talk about it on stage.
Yeah, but can we start with the first? Like, what age are we talking about that this begins?
Well, it's such a strange thing because the popularity of the Me Too moment was baffling to me. It was baffling on two different levels. One, that it took so long. And two, that there were parts of it that were being utilized for personal gain, which totally negates the truthful side of the Me Too movement. And as a woman, it's just, you're dodging dicks. You are dodging dicks on a daily basis. And then you're not only dodging dicks, you're dodging dudes who are telling you to fucking deal with it. Just deal with it, babe. It tuts. Deal with it. That's what happens when you got tits in the pussy. You got to fucking deal with it.
I get to jerk off on this boss. Yeah. Fucking deal with it.
What do you think you put on earth for? You got to take care of a man's needs. And then there's the other side of men who are actually respectful and girl dads like yourself who don't speak like that or don't view women like that. But you motherfuckers haven't been loud enough. So from a young age, you know, the first dick I saw was on some retarded guy.
How old are you?
I was probably 11 at the time. I was going to get milk for my mom.
Oh my God. Where? Like to a little store?
Syracuse, New York, Wilson Market. It might have been Wilson's
Market. Are you walking? Are you riding your bike?
I'm walking. I got my little Keds on. The shoelaces are
probably... Are you by yourself?
I'm with my friend Amy. My shoelaces are half tied because I'm fucking 11. I probably have some dirt on my knee because I was a tomboy. You know, I'm a little bit of sweat because it was a hot summer day in Syracuse and the sun was high. Clear sky. Couldn't have been a more beautiful day. And Amy and I are skipping because we're innocent and we still have our hymens and we're just enjoying.
We didn't start horseback riding until it was like 15. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, a deep sneeze will make that thing snap off. But for the most part. But I mean, all was good in the world.
Yeah.
I was so beautiful.
What's not, I don't mean funny in a comical way, but you remember, this is a thing about trauma, every detail. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. My hymen was intact. My shoes were untied.
I have to put that in my book.
Please. Please put my hymen was still intact.
You know, like when you buy food.
It's such a specific.
You buy like packaged vegetables and there's that layer of plastic you have to peel off.
Yeah.
It was still there. It was just there and it was happy and everything was just so beautiful and fun and nothing had tainted my youth.
Now we've got hymens and taints. Okay, that's fine.
They're not at Coachella this year. Hymens and taints will not be at the main tent at Coachella.
That's my next shirt. Just hymens and taints. Like, what the fuck are you talking about over there? Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, TheraOne CBD. From tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, to simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore, so everyone can benefit from TheraOne CBD products. Started by Jason Wersland, Therabody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help you soothe your body and relax your mind. It started with the revolutionary Theragun percussive therapy device. When Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments, he created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products claim organic, but still contain up to 30% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products four times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown here in the U.S., and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. Use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, the body balm for targeted relief, and the sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. I've been using the gun. I've been putting it on, hitting this shoulder here. Man, I don't know what it is. My knee, I had arthroscopic surgery when I was 14 back in the day. And they're like, hey, that's going to come back to haunt you. And guess what? The haunted house woke up. So I've been using TheraOne all over it. It really does work. It really makes me feel better. All right, so here's the deal. Let me hook you guys up. All right, so now through Labor Day, which is Monday, September 7th, TheraOne's offering my listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products, okay? You've got to go to theragun.com/honeydew. And if you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. It is buy one, get one free at TheraGun. That's TheraGun.com/honeydew, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to TheraGun.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smarter rate. So you don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it does not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. And the best part is if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Now, over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. So free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the dew.
Oh my gosh. And her and I were walking down the hill right adjacent to Wilson's Market. And across the street came this creature of a man, a behemoth, big bulbous body frame and a bowl cut. And he was so far away, but I knew he had drool on his face. I just knew he did. He just had the sound of something that was drooling. He had a red t-shirt on with red shorts. And
how old would you say? Older, teenager?
It was like, hard to tell because he was definitely, you know, mentally disabled. Some sort of either a mixture of Down syndrome, maybe like a little fetal alcohol syndrome mixed in there. Like it definitely was a cocktail of mental retardation. And it was coming at us and screaming. And I thought he was injured. Amy and I stopped and we're like, what is this? And he was like, ah! Like he couldn't speak, but he was trying to get to us. And he hiked up his shorts.
Up?
I know.
Ah! Well,
which is an invasive way to show your
But it team. Also makes sense because he's not all there. Let me show you my dick, girl. Look at it. Look at it.
And then it's just like,
I know. What are you going to do?
It's just.
It's all hot the side of your shorts.
It's all hot. It's so loose.
He hiked red shorts up.
They were.
How close is he to you now? He's still running?
He's probably a good 100 feet away. He had stopped. Once we both looked at him, I think we scared him because he had a plan. I think he just woke up and was like, I'm going to show someone my dick. This was a maiden voyage for both of us. I honestly love mentally challenged people. I love retarded, whatever you want to call it, whatever the word is. My mom was always around them, and we had a kid she used to watch who'd come over, and my mom taught. You know, she was like a teaching assistant for mentally challenged people. So I was used to kind of being around them, and in this instance, I was like, oh, he must need help. There's something wrong. Like, he's yelling at us, and so we look, and he stops, and he hikes up his shorts, and it just kind of peeks out like a kitten paw under a door when you're in the bathroom.
Little pink paw.
That's ridiculous. And I didn't know what it was.
I was going to say, yeah, right?
I had no context.
You had never seen a picture or nothing.
No,
and the first one you're seeing is live in person.
Alive in person from afar. On the frame, the physical and mental frame of somebody who doesn't even understand the depths of what they're doing.
Sure.
And this was probably, you know, it was almost like as innocent as a young girl and a young boy or two young girls or two young boys experiencing something for the first time together. It just was in this weird, you know, juxtaposition of a grown, mentally challenged person and a young girl, which probably together we would have made a great couple. We probably were par for par, pretty mentally, you know.
You clearly remember clicked. Everything about this. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you scream? Did you run? What was your immediate reaction?
I honestly thought it was a kitten. I thought he had a kitten. I thought he had tucked a kitten into his shorts and that he, like, that it was falling. I didn't know. I honestly.
I hear you. You're 11. Like,
my friend Amy's like, no, because she had been around the dick already. And I was like, what is it? Is that his kid? She goes, no. That's his penis. And then she screams. And then we run into Wilson's Market. And, you know, I still got my mom the fucking milk. But, you know, I don't even remember if
Did Mr. and Mrs. Wilson say something inside? Were they like, what's going on out there,
that's
girl?
That's the Johnson's kid.
Oh, that's Gary.
He's always out. Gary's always out. What is it, Tuesday? Yeah, Gary flashes Tuesday. The cat on Tuesdays. And that was my
Listen, don't come up here tomorrow.
You don't want to see what Gary Bear does on Wednesday. You don't want to see what Gary Bear flashes on Wednesday. God. How many body parts are left? So, you know, the other side of like things like this.
Do you go home and tell anyone? Do they explain to you? Like, what happens? Who do you talk to about
well,
this?
Well, that's what I was going to touch on is. There's this conversation. It's like, why didn't you say anything? When things happen to women, it's evolving now, thankfully. Why didn't you say anything? Well, we didn't exactly grow up in a society that made us feel comfortable, nor do we grow up with parents who had the self-awareness and psychological tools to communicate with their children about things in society that they may come up against and what to expect and how to sort of handle those things. So we didn't have the tools to talk about things like that happening to us. We just didn't because we were hushed for so long. You know, it takes a while for those things to evolve. And I don't even think I really told my mom. I might have told her there was like a weird guy, but maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I really don't remember having like, Mom, there was this guy and I thought it was a cat, but it was a dick. Here's the 2%. Like, I don't remember.
Babe, it was skim. I'm gonna need you to go back. Like, I can't see that again. Not twice in the same day, Mon. And listen, I can't go tomorrow.
Honey, did you get 2%? No, we need skim milk. You know I have issues
you
with
can 2%. Go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, we not cannot Wednesday. Go tomorrow. You don't go to Wilson's on Wednesday.
Bear's just there squeezing his butthole. His dirt star's winking at me from across the street.
That's definitely one of the days.
I think I take the butthole over the penis at this point.
I would. Yeah, I would.
But that was the first time I ever saw one. And you know, it was a lot of the maiden voyages for a girl, a young girl, like seeing her first penis if she's heterosexual or first time having sex or like relationships. A lot of those things were robbed of me.
Yes.
They were forced on me. They were scenarios that I didn't have a say in. And so all these little milestones that females should have in their life, like you being a girl dad, you don't want those things forced on them. That they should experiencing. Yeah. They should be experiencing them with some innocence and youth and respect. So most of those milestones in my life were completely robbed. And it was a situation where I just had to react. So it really made me sort of have to view the world in this like, well, now I have to dodge dick. It made me defensive. Like, you know, I used to talk about it on stage. I was like a dick ninja. I had to like, there were, you know, I'm chopping them left and right, trying to like defend myself like some sort of Kill Bill bitch.
I mean, I remember reading an article about a woman, this is just a few years ago, on the Chicago subway, and she's like, look, these guys, there's going to be a guy that's going to grind his dick against me for 15 stops, mm-hmm. and I know it, mm-hmm. and I'm used to it, and I put up with it, and I'm like, God, yeah, and the other thing, too, like, another friend recently said it to me, she's like, you know, you don't even think twice when a woman walks past you on the sidewalk. Because if she were crazy or to attack you, chances are, unless she's some MMA chick that's going to whip my ass, I got it.
Yeah, you got it.
Right. Whereas she's like, I worry about every man that walks past me. I don't care what time of day. And then it hit me like, fuck yeah.
We've had to be on the defense for so long.
Of everything. Yeah. And I mean, when you walk in my shoes and my skin and my experiences, I don't even see that, because I've always been the protector of the woman I've been with,
right.
You know, I'd also be like, shut the fuck up, I do not want to fight that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, don't run your mouth right now.
Get the car
okay?
started.
Please,
get the car
let me just enjoy my crab legs, bitch. Let me just finish dinner. You gotta start a fight. We didn't even finish our appetizer.
Get that honey dude to go, girl.
Get that honey dude to go.
Go in the trap.
Wrap it up. Can we wrap up the melon, please?
So tell me, you said you had a boss. You said.
Yeah, I had a boss. I worked at a pizza shop in upstate New York. 16.
So high school gig.
17, one of my first jobs. I did work at the grocery store, Wegmans, when I was younger, but I couldn't handle math.
What was the name of the pizza place?
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, Wilson's Wegmans. What the fuck is this?
I know, Wilson's
Wegmans.
I know. I don't even remember it.
And how old was this boss? College or older?
Older.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like late 30s.
Really?
And I was like 16, 17 at the time, yeah.
So yeah. What happened?
Well, I was preparing like salad stuff. I was in the back chopping up lettuce. And he used to buy the cheapest fucking ingredients, man. Like, I get the margin. I respect the margin. But this motherfucker was buying lechuga off the back of a truck that had been wilted. Even the flies were like, ugh. And the ingredients were so bad. Everything about this place was screaming cheap and gross. And I'm back there just chopping up the lettuce. He comes from his office and has a raging boner. It is noon.
He's walking out like that?
He's just walking out in his cargo shorts, in his stupid polo t-shirt, in his shitty dad New Balance sneakers with crappy socks. And a boner at noon. And I had just barely healed from the, you know, the retard dick across the street from Wilson's Market 2 years prior. Here comes another one packaged in these cargo shorts off a sale rack from Kmart. And he just grabs my hand and puts it on his dick.
Like over his pants?
Over his pants.
And doesn't say anything.
He goes, you want that? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it a new pizza topping?
I'm just trying to find I'm just trying to find the cherry tomatoes.
I'm looking for the peppercini.
I'm wondering where the fuck you keep the croutons, okay?
You're the best to laugh at this shit.
I'm crying. I'm just looking for
your time. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Tushy. Now, everyone has an ass, and everyone deserves the gift of Tushy. Wiping your butt with dry toilet paper does not remove all the shit, okay? If you've got poop on any other part of your body, would you just wipe it off with dry paper? No. Water cleans better than dry paper, my friends. Thankfully, now, there's a sleek new bidet attachment that clips onto your existing toilet and sprays your butt completely clean with fresh water. It's called Tushy, and it's the best thing you can do for your butt. Tushy sprays directly to your ass, and it removes the poop completely so you aren't sitting on bacteria that leads to nasty things like hemorrhoids, yeast infections, UTIs, itchy assholes, skid marks, and the back of your ball stank, all right? Bidets are common in the rest of the world. A bidet saves you money on toilet paper. You still use a little toilet paper to pat dry, but the amount is negligible. It will not clog your toilet. Tushy sprays your ass with fresh water, okay? It's not toilet water. Tushy connects to the water supply behind your toilet to spray your dirty parts with clean, fresh water. It's the exact same water you brush your teeth with. Wet wipes are worse than toilet paper. They're terrible for the environment. They cause anal fissures. You do not want your anus fissuring. This thing is only $79, okay? It's an attachment that's $79, okay? And they also have a Tushy Ottoman, which helps you get everything out. It's like a sexy tooth or a cloud that helps you poop, and that's only $69, okay? And that's nice, all right? Now, here's the deal. Go to hellotushy.com/honeydew and get 10% off your order and free shipping. That's hellotushy, TUSHY.com/honeydew. Get 10% off your order and free shipping. Wash ass. Our next sponsor is HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. I don't know why I waited so long. I don't know. I always feel like I'm not going to be good at these things. I've tried some in the past, but HelloFresh is literally my favorite one right now. They let you skip those trips to the grocery store. They make home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. You can do it with the kids. Their recipes are so delicious. They offer so many recipes to choose from each week to help you break out of your recipe rut. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and family-friendly recipes every week. That's picky eaters. HelloFresh offers fresh, high-quality ingredients every week for a super flavorful experience. Over 90% of the ingredients are sourced directly from growers to ensure the freshest recipes are delivered to your door. You can save time and stress effortlessly. HelloFresh offers contact delivery to your doorstep. Sorry, got to repeat that. It's not contact delivery. Okay, you ready? HelloFresh offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. So go to HelloFresh.com/honeydew80, all right? And you use the code honeydew80 to get a total of $80 off, all right? Including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Now, again, I'm going to say it again. HelloFresh.com/honeydew80. All right? Do it up. Let's get back to the dude. Something's going on in that office. This dude walks out with a raging hard-on, grabs it, says, do you want that? And I mean,
I didn't know. I didn't even know. First hard-on. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, yeah, because his wasn't. His was just
no, his was across flopping. The street and
yeah,
dead.
Yeah,
right. His looked dead like kitten. His looked like newborn dead kitten roadkill. And this was.
And this is a grown man's boner.
Grown boner. A groaner. Right here.
Right here.
Right here. Like, I remember it. And I just was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? I'm trying to make your pizzas. I'm here just as a job, trying to save enough money so I can go to Darien Lake. Like, I don't know what this is. Still, didn't tell my mom.
Nobody.
No, because I was like.
But did you say anything to him, or did he treat you differently after that? Was he scared? Yeah. Was he defensive? Was he?
What? Yeah, he definitely treated me a little bit differently. Like he was trying to suck up to me, and a little bit of
he got scared.
He got scared and trying to do like a little manipulative thing, and then he ended up hiring this dude who just got out of jail. They called him the ice cream man. He had just gotten out of jail because he had an ice cream truck that it was a really smart business plan. He had an ice cream truck that he made actual ice cream out of, but then he sold drugs to the parents.
Yeah, smart.
Smart deal. Great summer gig.
Ask for like the fucking, the dead cat popsicle.
The bomb pop.
How much you want, bro? Got 2 ounces of Colombian shit sitting right in here.
He hired this dude and just was like, the energy was so bad. I made up some excuse to my mom why I couldn't work there anymore. You know, just something.
And never
like,
told her.
Never, no.
Or anyone.
She was going to find out now. She'll probably find out now.
Now.
Sorry, mom.
Did you have any friends you could confide in or any girls that you could share that with?
Yeah.
Or sisters?
I mean, still, Amy and I were still very, very close. And my sister was 4 years older than me. And at that point, she was just in college. So she wasn't really around that much. I didn't really have, you know, besides my friend Amy, I didn't really have a lot of, you know, people to confide in. Not that I didn't feel comfortable confiding in my mom. Her and I are very, very close. But this is also a time in an era where, like I said, that communication factor wasn't something that was a prominent thing in a family. You know, maybe some people grew up like that, but not necessarily in this instance. And I also was scared. Like,
totally.
I was starting to get so much on the defense. I was like, is something wrong with me? Like, why? Why is this coming towards me? And a lot of women do that. A lot of girls do that. They just assume that it's their fault. They take it on themselves. And I think I struggled with that a lot. And it just, you know, when I look at, especially just, you know, sending that list of things that I sent to you when I was pooping, all the stuff. You said you were pooping when you read it.
I was pooping when I read it.
I would feel comfortable talking to you on the phone when I poop.
That really feels nice.
Yeah,
thank you.
I would.
I appreciate that.
I want you to know that. I don't think I've ever really looked at the spectrum of things that I've done in one chunk like that. And after I sent it, I was like,
oh, wow.
Shit.
Listen, I sent it to Ash this morning, and he was like, holy shit. I was like, that's what I'm doing and saying. Man.
Yeah, it's been, you know.
It's disturbing. I mean, just the bullet points of that. You have the can we talk about your uncle? That was the one you listed.
Yeah,
on there.
Yeah.
And how you tell me, just I'll show
you. It was, you know, that was really difficult for me. It was somebody who was very close to me and had a job that also was a very disturbing job to have for somebody who did what he did.
What did he do?
He ended up kind of abusing one of my friends for years.
So how old was he?
I want to say he was like in his mid-30s to early 40s.
And how's your uncle? Mom's brother, dad's brother?
Like separated like through divorce type of thing. But you know, when I was growing up, we had this great place where we'd go to as a kid. This lake, and my mom sort of grew up there as a child, and so there's a lot of times in the summer we go every summer as family. When my mom and dad were together, we'd go and we'd hang out for a couple weeks, and my uncle also had a place there, and
so a huge group of your family.
Yeah, and it was like a tradition of ours. And even after my parents separated, my dad loved it so much that we continued to go, as you know, my dad and I and my sister. And my father just loved it there. And even after, through separations and stuff, my uncle was still up there. So we'd all hang out. It was like the most, like, it's so strange for me to recall it because it was such an amazing time, but also so tainted and muddied with what happened that it's hard to think about it with fond memories without really knowing.
Yeah.
Or feeling what was going on and having that sort of taint the whole memory of it. But yeah, he for years was right under our noses.
So you would bring a friend up with
you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took 1 year. It was years of it going on. And then one summer.
How old was she when it started?
Maybe like
high school?
Younger than that.
Younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, one day her and I are just sitting there and she was like, you know, your uncle makes me do things to him and I don't know what to do.
And how old is she at this point?
I think she was like 15 or 16. It's
been going on for a while. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And, you know, I've never really like talked about it out loud. I might have, you know, told some friends about it, but that's the problem. Staying silent is the problem. And it's been a problem for so many people. And, you know, things like this imprint on people. They change things like that changed the way, like the relationships I had, the trust issues that I had. So to have to remain silent is torture, you know? It's unfair.
It is unfair.
Because you should be allowed to heal. So.
And this girl at least is brave enough to tell you.
Yeah.
It's taken her years, obviously.
Years.
Not one time.
Can you imagine being her and not wanting to ruin our time?
Right. Not wanting to.
She's feeling terrible. Oh,
everything going into it.
Just so fucked up on so many levels. And we couldn't. So she tells me, and I didn't even know what that meant because I hadn't been sexually active at that point. I hadn't done anything besides.
Had she. I mean, was your uncle's probably her first early sexual experience.
There was some stuff going down that as a dad you would probably want to punch or murder somebody over.
I was
gonna
say kill.
Yeah.
Would be more like
that would be probably your
nice
reaction.
Little pink Easton bat in your car. That motherfucker be red. I'll be like, hey, where's that security system?
But I remember not even knowing what she was saying, you know, not even.
It's just blowing your mind. Like,
yeah, well, I just didn't know. I didn't have anything to compare it to. Besides
and it's your uncle.
Yeah.
And, yeah
somebody
so much,
I trust.
Yes.
I'm like, I only know a kitten dick and a sausage sandwich.
A sausage sandwich.
I'm like, what? I don't even know. I just remember being like, you know when people tell like a joke or mention somebody who's prominent and you don't know who it is, but you're like, oh, yeah, whoa. You just act like you're shocked. Like, you know what's going on, but you don't have any context. Yeah. That's what it was.
So what do you do?
I was like, well, let's tell Emily. Because we were up at this camp.
Who's Emily?
My sister.
Is that his? Your
my? It's
that
my,
your, from your first?
My mom and my dad. Yeah. My
first group.
Yep. First.
She the old,
my only
she,
full-blood sister.
Right. Okay.
And we sort of, you know, let her know. And I see that she knows what it is. Because at that point, she was a hoe. No, I'm just kidding. No, she was, you know, she was a grown woman. She was like, you know, in her late teens. She was, mm-hmm. she was a young woman at that point.
And she would definitely know what you're talking mm-hmm. about. Yeah.
She got so angry and so concerned for my friend. And then she's like, we can't tell dad. Because we were there for another week.
Oh.
She's like, if we have we have two choices. We leave and go home and deal with this right now. Or.
I rented a jet ski. I will lose all my deposit.
We can't.
I got three wave runners on hold.
We got two paddle boats that we will not get our money back on.
I got us the good pontoon with a slide off the
back. Summer ice cream social is on Saturday.
Oh my God.
We didn't know what to do. It's so much pressure for young girls to try and figure out.
I mean, just down to the minutia bullshit of we got another week at this summer thing. We can't say something. Like, it's as if it's not hard enough just to come forward and say it at all. It's like, now you got to put vacation time on.
Yeah.
You know? You know that. Dad ain't getting paid for three of these days. You know that. Come on.
The summer days are fading. We only have six more days in summer. School starts in 2 weeks. So we stayed for another week. All three of us.
Knowing that.
Knowing and not saying anything.
But wait, is he coming on to her and everything?
Well, still.
At this point, or is she now fighting it?
Now she's like.
Hey.
She's got, now that she's.
She's got security.
She's got security.
Okay.
She's like.
She does feel comfortable telling him no now.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm going to get any backlash from my family talking about this, but it's been years. And I really don't. I don't give a fuck in the sense because I've had to carry that burden for so fucking long, and it affected and changed the fiber of who I am. And I don't regret anything in life. All the struggles I've had have shaped me into a resilient woman, but not without going through some very detrimental infringements on my innocence. Yeah.
And I can also imagine seeing these fucking monsters, this kid at the market, this guy at the pizza place, and then all of a sudden it's your in your family. Like, what?
Someone you trusted. Yeah. Someone you considered.
And now it's in your house and in your on your vacation. I imagine that's got to fuck with your mind so hard.
Yeah. Like,
it's we're not safe anywhere.
No. And that's even before I've even been sexually active. That's even before I really had like a real boyfriend. So all of these things are shaping and
this is your sex ed.
Yep.
Is just fucking predators.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I'll never forget, he comes over one day because we were all going to go to a drive-in movie. And my sister and I were like, well, what do we do? She's like, we have to play it as cool, because if he suspects something's going on, it'll change the vibe of everything and it'll blow up. So if we want to try and have some control over this, we got to sort of deal with it. He comes over and there was another young girl in his front, the front seat.
You didn't know her?
Passenger seat. And she was, you know, a young girl. And we're like, who's this? He's like, oh, this is the neighbor's kid. I said that she could come with us to go to the movie. Now, any other scenario, it would be innocent. But with the new revelation,
yes,
it was a pattern of behavior. I didn't know then, but now as an adult, I understand from thanks to a lot of Netflix documentaries and shows and information and articles that there's a grooming process that happens, especially when it's an older person, when it's like a pedophile situation. There's a grooming process that happens.
Yeah, I didn't even know that term until like within the last few. Last few years of having a child, like, wait, that's a thing and it's got a term? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
whole
behavior.
The whole Michael Jackson thing opened my eyes up to groom, what the term grooming is when Oprah's talking about it on there. Like, you're groomed. I was like, ugh.
It's a deep, premeditated manipulation and a stripping of youth and innocence. And
can we jump back for one second? What, you stay another week at this camp.
Mm-hmm.
Is this movie happening there, this drive-in?
Yeah, we go and drive to like a drive-in movie, which sounds like it's the 1950s.
During this camp? Like this week where you're all shutting up. Okay, so you haven't left and gone back home. And
no, we stayed.
Okay. And now there's another girl that, what the, that's super, yeah. I mean, that's weird. Go ahead.
It's weird because if
you'd have been like, oh, this is Cindy or whatever.
Anything, yeah, we'd be like, oh, yeah, have her, the more the merrier. But knowing what we knew, everything at that moment changed. It all changed. It's sort of like that retrospect. Once I started to know and she told us everything that was going on, and you look backwards, you're just like, oh, my God.
How was he doing? How the fuck did he get away with it?
On jet ski rides, when we were playing hide and seek, when, you know, we would have movie nights right under our noses. Literally right under our noses, and we had no idea. And this is, you know, I have empathy for him, because I truly believe in my heart of hearts that he is a product of something so much more toxic. That is his pattern of behavior. I have empathy for that because he's a product of a society that built that. He was created. This isn't something that, you know, I truly believe that it's not, you're not like, oh, this is, I'm going to try this out. It's not like fucking honeydew melons.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what? I just don't think it's like that.
Right.
So I have empathy for it. But It honestly, you know, you look backwards and you just realize how robbed you felt, because it was all happening right under your nose. And it all those memories, you're like, that was all lies.
So when do you guys finally
we go home
blow the whistle?
After
on all
we
this?
Go home and right, like the day we got back, she told her mom. We sat down with my dad and my mom, and we told them, and then collectively.
Do you remember their reactions? Was it anger? Was it sadness?
My mom wasn't surprised.
Wow. Isn't that always trippy, too, when somebody's like, doesn't surprise me one bit? Yeah.
And she had kind of forewarned us lightly once.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She had kind of forewarned us a little bit just to sort of, you know, keep our wits about us and, you know, be strong and sort of kind of know that something, I think it was like something had happened when he was younger with one of her sisters or something. And she's like, just because we were starting to hang out a lot with him before. And so she had said like one thing. And so when this became a revelation, she felt really bad. She felt hurt, sad for my friend, and just really concerned about us and making sure that nothing had happened to us.
Right.
What
happened to him ultimately? Well, who confronted him?
We went to the police. I remember this. And we had to give, you know, we had to get separated, my friend and I, and give our stories or recounts of what happened. And he got community service.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. And he got to go back to his job teaching.
Teaching? Oh, man. Are you fucking kidding me? How? How does that get?
Because.
Even back
because
then.
Because even like, back then, but. Society, even though we are an advanced society, on a psychological level, we are so behind. We are so behind because we've allowed our egos to drive our ships for so long. And egos can't drive the ship. It has to be yourself, and you have to be self-awareness. And we need a society where people can feel comfortable and supported in their own individual demons. He's got demons.
Demons.
Deep, deep demons.
And he's giving those demons to who God knows how many other kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And society's failing him.
Yes.
Because we were raised in a just deal with it.
Right.
Culture. Especially
Chris Rock's
for
got
you
that
guys.
Joke. Just walk it off. They all
yeah,
say,
exactly.
Whatever. Walk it off.
Just walk it the fuck off.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Like you, I feel empathy for men because when you guys are. When you're boys and sons, when you're younger and you cry, usually 9 times out of 10, the parent's going to be like, don't cry. Not why are you crying? Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Don't cry. You're a boy. Boys don't cry. That's traditionally been a conversation for young boys. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
You're devaluing their emotions right from the start. So right from the start, as young girls, we're taught that you're going to be dodging dick and you have to be defensive. And you can't trust people. And again, this is just from my experience. But from the jump, boys are taught that your emotions are not, they're not valid. And whatever you're feeling, whatever pain, hurt, or fear you have, it's not real. So tuck it down and go kick that ball.
Right.
And then that's a rinse and repeat. That's the vicious cycle of upbringing and
sure,
rearing that
yeah.
we have with children.
It's fucked up.
Well, it's fucked up.
So then are you guys just like, you're dead to us? You don't talk, he's out.
Yeah.
But he gets to live a normal life, and your
somewhat
poor
normal.
Friend has probably severe fucking trauma from
yeah.
that shit.
It broke a lot of relationships.
I'll bet.
It destroyed a lot of families.
Yeah.
The ripple effect was
huge
and still lasting.
Well, are you comfortable talking about the first time you had sex?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably disowned by my family from that, but sure. Just kidding. Just talking about truth. Truth hurts. Yeah, the first time, my introduction, is this entertaining for people?
Listen to me. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
They're going to be like, oh my God.
No, you're going to get so much love from this. Yeah. But the fact that you're sitting here still laughing through any of this shit you're talking about shows how strong you are.
And how strong my marijuana is.
Hey.
Smoke weed every day.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Raycon. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommate or your neighbor or your significant other or your kids are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, but before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Look, I've got two pairs of Raycon now. My stepson took the brand new ones. I can't even get them back from him. He's taking everything. He's like, I love them. They're the best earbuds I've ever had. You already know Raycon earbuds started about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. But their newest model, the one my stepson took from me, the Everyday E25 earbuds are their best ones yet, and that's why he took them. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, they're perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts. What made them a game changer for me, I had the wires hanging all the time. I traveled with them when I was traveling all the time, coming out to see you guys. And I walk around the house now doing conference calls on them, cleaning, stuff like that. It, you know, nothing in the way. You can do whatever you want. And unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during your video calls. And you've heard me talk about how the company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B. You know, I love me some Cardi B. And they are all obsessed with Raycon. So pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. And now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. You can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/honeydew. That's B-U-Y Raycon, RAYCON.com/honeydew for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the do.
The first time I ever had sex, I was raped.
God. What? How old were you?
16. This happened shortly after the revelation with my friend.
So all this shit, and then here comes this now.
Now
how
it's
old
like,
is this guy?
Say goodbye to your hymen. It was like when those magicians come up and they pull the tablecloth and everything stays. Well, the tablecloth got yanked. That's my hymen, and everything went to shit.
What was he, a boyfriend? Were you dating
someone I trusted? I
was gonna say, how old was he?
19.
Okay.
20.
Oh, so he's
rough dude.
And you're underage.
Underage. He was a bouncer at my uncle's club. I used to sneak into
the same uncle.
No. My cousin who's a bouncer at my cousin's club. Area 51 was the name of the club, and you guessed it. There is alien decor all over the he took the name and ran with it. He had alien, like blow up alien dolls, spacecrafts was lighting up the dance floor, and it was one of the bouncers. I was like, oh, this guy with the neck tat, with a tribal neck tattoo, he'll love me.
I can fix it.
He'll respect me. He definitely won't shove his dick in my hand. It's, you know, I started to display those behaviors of somebody who's been abused. Even though the abuse was a little bit indirect, it still was abuse that I was witnessing. And I made it very clear that I wasn't ready for anything physical. I just wasn't, because all the stuff I had witnessed.
Man,
I was like, this doesn't, sex looks fucking terrible.
Yes.
Like, you either have to, like, force it on somebody or do it with a kid. Why are people even fucking? This is really scary stuff.
That makes sense.
I knew nothing about, like, you know,
you're still only 16 at that age. What the fuck 16, do you know?
Nothing.
Yeah,
no fingering under the bleaches. You know how lucky
trying
those
to parallel park. All right, just trying to learn how to parallel park right now. All I want
to
do.
Yeah. I just wanted to get fingered under the bleachers. Is that too much to ask?
That's all.
By some kid with braces and chimples? That's some Guido Italian boss with gelled hair and a fucking Figaro Link necklace. God, I was robbed of so many good moments. I just wanted to get fingered by a sweating, weird teenager. I might have to go back. I'm going to be a teacher who fucks kids just to relive her shit.
Reliver youth. That's what's probably happening.
And I made it very clear to him. I just wasn't ready for anything physical. I didn't have a grasp on it, and I wasn't developed in that way yet. And there was one night where we were supposed to go to the movies, Carousel Mall in Syracuse, New York. Shout out to Carousel Mall, which is now Destiny USA.
Yeah, Destiny.
Yeah, it's destiny for COVID. That's all it's destiny for at this point. I'm sure the mall's not even really kicking, but it was a popular spot, and we were going to go to a movie. And he's like, oh, I want to show you something. The movie, the mall, I lived really close to the mall. It was like a mile drive. And when he gets on the highway, he goes on opposite direction. I was like, oh, the mall's that way. He's like, yeah, but I want to show you something. And I was like, okay. So we pull to the back of this, like, now in Syracuse, all the businesses, like 90% of them are houses. And the business is like a nail salon or a bar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many bars that are houses. It's like there's linoleum and a stripper pole.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Is this a kitchen? No, it's a strip club. Okay, you want some chicken wings? What? And there's I love Syracuse. It's like, I'm proud to be from there, but some of the businesses are questionable. And there's this like nail salon and we go.
Get your titties out of my pantry. Yeah, come on now. Get back on stage, girl.
It's all dark. We go down this driveway behind this house that's a nail salon business. And in the back, there's a stairwell that leads up to the second level. And he's like, we get out of the car. And I said, what are we doing here? He's like, oh, this is my new place. And it just, the lighting, everything was wrong. Like that gut thing that happens. It happened the moment he turned the wrong way on the highway. Because I just knew that something was amok. And maybe my sexual predator spidey sense has always been on, and maybe I anticipate it in places where it's not meant to be anticipated. But then again, there is something about your gut reaction.
Always.
Your gut is a brain.
Never wrong. It's the hardest thing to do in life is to listen to your gut. It's we listen so hard. To our hearts. Our fucking dicks and pussies. We mm-hmm. listen to our emotion. We listen to this, that. It's the gut is always, it's never wrong.
It's never wrong. Never. It literally is the center of our being. Like our gut is a brain. It communicates with our body and our mind and our heart. Mm-hmm. So you should always listen to it. And I knew it when we got on the highway. And the lighting of this back lot was lit like some Eli Roth horror film. Like there might as well have been like a neon sign that said rape and an arrow pointing to the door. Should have just been like, it couldn't have been any more clear. And I had nowhere to go. I should have ran, but I didn't
where?
Know.
Right.
Where I didn't know where. Go? I just was like, okay, maybe I'm just overthinking the situation. And we go up the stairs and we open the door and it's outfitted and furnished like a Red Roof Inn. It's just stark and stagnant and the lighting is fluorescent and there's not a touch of life in it. Then all the colors are muted and brown and it just felt so devoid of love or life. And he's showing me this like kitchenette bullshit. It's like a roach in the sink and isn't this great? And I'm like, this place is, in my mind, I'm like, this place is where a rape's gonna happen. I mean, I didn't think that, but that's what it felt like. It felt just dark and empty. And he's like, why don't you try out the bed? And right then I was like, oh, fuck. I said, why don't we just go to the movie? He's like, no, try out the bed. And I was like, no, I don't feel comfortable. And he's like, let's just try it out. Like, just trust me. He's like, and did that whole thing, like, don't make me feel bad. And like that manipulative thing. And you know, you really want to make me upset? I'm showing you this new place and doing that whole like, you know, reverse psychology thing.
You're the bad guy.
And I sit down and he just forces himself on me. And he's a big, big dude. Big dude. Big fella. Fat neck. Thick, thick neck. There was no fighting him off. There was nothing. And I don't, your being and your brain and your body has such an amazing way and so many important processes to help you deal with trauma.
I've heard this before where you really just have an out-of-body experience and you're gone, but your carcass is there.
You're gone. I don't even know where I went. I don't remember it at all. That particular time.
But you're not kicking and fighting. Initially, I
tried, but there's no fight. I was so exhausted that I couldn't, there's no more fight in me. And that's when you just sort of like let go and let it, it's easier to let it go and let it happen than it is to fight. I don't know how long it lasted. I just remember laying there and feeling so numb and cold. And I remember he said something. He was in the bathroom and he was just like, oh, I haven't seen that much blood in a long time.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, did I die? Maybe I died. And he brings me home. We didn't even go to the fucking movie. Sucks, because I think it was a horror movie, and those are my favorite, but I guess I was a star of my own. Can't say I was never in the movies.
He said that's terrible. Oh, my God.
It was one of the only times in my life where I can't remember what happened, and I don't remember what I felt during that time. But afterwards, he dropped me off home, and I saw what the blood part that he was referring to. And I called my friend because I didn't know. I was like, I don't know what this is. And she was like, that's what happens when you have sex for the first time. He broke your hymen. I was like, that motherfucker. He broke that? I was like, well, how do I fix it? She's like, no, it's gone. I was like, oh, shit. You can't. It's not even like in a relationship where you get your CDs back. I want my Alanis Morissette, you ought to know.
Give
track
my Dave
back.
Matthews shit back.
Give man. Me my Crash Into Me back. I didn't know it was rape right then, but my friend Tia really helped me during that time acknowledge that that's what it was.
Yeah.
She really helped me.
And did you report him or?
I went to my health teacher, Mrs. Latonin, and she was this total hippie with like this long hair and these thick ass glasses, and she had a really nice soft voice, and she had a way of making kids feel included, and mm-hmm. she was a great health teacher, and she talked about the butthole in a very poetic way. She made those weird slides, all like the onion, you know, the infections you get, you know, that like sex slideshow you get. They're like, here's what happens if you have sex and it's just a pregnant girl and a blooming onion that comes out of your asshole, and you're like, well, great, I feel prepared. She had a great way of making that fun, and she was one of the only teachers who I felt comfortable going to, and I told her what happened. And this was the next morning, and she told me what to do and gave me numbers of people at like Planned Parenthood and recommended that I go and at least get some testing done because it was unprotected, and recommend that I talk to my mom about it. It took me 2 years, I think, to talk to my mom. Yeah. It took me 2 years. He messaged me years later on Facebook. I think I still have the message. Yeah.
Was that the only time you did you like not go to that club ever again? Like, was that it? Or did you ever see him again?
I saw him, I think, for another week after that. And the last straw was I was hanging out with him. And I'm sure a lot of people are listening like, oh, this is a problem. You should have just ran. You don't know.
Yes.
You can't. You have. When you're 16, even as an adult, you don't know how you're going to react. Trauma is on a molecular level. There's no way to, you can have all the tools and your cute little gauze kit and your buck knife and a fucking bow and arrow. But until you're in the moment, in the battle, you don't know how you're going to react. You don't know what those scars of that war, what they're going to look like, how they're going to affect you, and how you're going to respond to that. There's no way to truly prepare for that type of trauma. So I stayed with him for a week because I was terrified and I didn't know what to do. And I was at his house with his friend who always used to defend me because he was like, this is not right for you, this person. And this particular day, he had said something to me. He said something really derogatory and I was so mad and I like shoved him. And then he grabbed me by my neck. And he was huge. He was a big motherfucker. Grabbed me by the neck and shoved me up against the wall by my neck.
Damn.
And said, if you ever touch me again, I will fucking hurt you real bad. And was choking me. And then he let me down. And then I left. I left. I don't even know how the fuck I got home. That was it. I was done. I didn't report him. I should have. I think any girl who's going through shit like that, you have to report. That is the only thing that really changes.
That's right.
And makes a difference.
What did he say when he reached out to you?
acknowledge any of the behaviors?
He's something along the lines of, and you know, if I did anything that was bad, I was in a really messed up time. Nothing specific, nothing indicating that it was rape, that he did rape me, that he was physically abusive towards me, nothing like that. But it was, I have the message somewhere. It didn't really give me any closure. I went to years of therapy. You know, I still, yeah. I have a amazing therapist and personal coach that I go to now, Breck Costin, who has helped me get through a lot in therapy in New York that I've done for years. But it was, you know, it's something that only up until about 5 years ago could I recall without bursting out into tears. Mm-hmm. Because it, those wounds, unless you deal with them, are so fresh and they're so palpable. And that's, I'm such an advocate for finding some treatment that works for you. I'm such an advocate for that. And in feeling, not normalizing rape, but normalizing the conversation around things like this that happen in women's lives, anyone's life. But I can only speak from the female perspective. And from my experience, it's been a very tumultuous relationship with the world that I've had. And these milestones, having, you know, the first dick I see and first dick I touch and first dick I feel, not be under my
control
or approval
or anything.
Or somebody I love.
Yes. Someone cares about you.
Yeah.
Forget you caring about them.
Right.
These guys didn't give a fuck about you. You're nothing.
Yep.
God.
So that, you know.
So can I ask you then, when the first time you actually really did have consensual sex, and what that was like for you? Were you scared? Were you nervous? Or was it the other way? Were you so thrilled to finally be with someone that, you know, that cared about you and you had control of the situation?
You know, it took me a couple of years to get there, to feel comfortable with a person, to enjoy sex, to realize that a sexual relationship could be healthy, could be respectful, could be consensual. It was, yeah, one of my first boyfriends who I'm still friends with, who was an amazing individual. He that was like one of the first relationships that was based on pure respect and love and openness. And, you know, he truly made me, if it weren't for him, I don't know how the rest of my dating life or personal life would have gone. Because he really was like this beacon in that point in my life. Because I was 18, mm-hmm. 19, and I decided that I wanted to try and do stand up or get out of the city, because all this stuff was happening. I'm like, I gotta go. Maybe it's the town. Is it the fucking water? Is this happening in Flint, Michigan? Maybe there's too much Legionnaire's disease in our goddamn tap water. I don't know what's going on, but I got to get the fuck out. So, yeah, I met this guy who was a mutual friend, and I moved to Boston. And that's where I, you know, had my first love and respectful relationship. And that's where I found comedy. And I think those two, the juncture of those two things, feeling supported and having a healthy relationship, allowed me to discover I had some talent, allowed me to spread my wings a little bit and feel safe.
Yeah,
and have the ability to get weird and be the goof, get that girl back.
An outlet.
Yeah.
To really talk about it and
let
people hear from you for a fucking change.
Right.
Like, listen to the shit that's been going on.
It was a form of therapy. It was a form of taking back control.
Yeah, because you're in control of that whole room and everything that's said and everything that's heard. So your power's all in your hands.
I think that's why I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. The relationship was respectful. The relationship was a cohesive thing between me and the audience. And I was able to be who I was and feel safe in the room. And I think that's why I fell in love with stand-up so much, is because coming off of all those experiences, here's this very intimate relationship that doesn't have anything to do with sex. And I feel safe. And not only do I feel safe, I feel free. So, you know, between that and therapy, I really dug deep to try and heal myself. And there were so many guys, and you know, there's girls that are like, well, why do I keep dating assholes? Because you're the asshole. You are the asshole. And that's a tough thing to say.
You are the common denominator in all of your relationships.
Yes.
So if there are problems, then yes, at some point you got to stop being like, well, if you would do this or you would do that, or if you have to look at yourself and be like, all right, I am a huge part of this equation. And what the fuck do I bring to the table? I'd like to go figure that out. And I say all the time too, like, you're never going to be perfect. But the goal, at least for me, is to minimize the frequency of those mistakes of and the impact of them as well down the line, mm-hmm. you know, like to try to eventually get as good as you can with that, because it's crept into all of our relationships after that, even to adulthood. Well, I want to, do you mind telling about the one relationship with bipolar?
Is
bipolar disorder?
Yeah, that was a wild one. I truly think you date at the level you think you deserve.
Ooh.
I think you date the type of relationship you think you're worthy of. And the person who's in your life is reflective of how you feel about yourself. And that's what I learned from my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Is I didn't go, why are all these assholes out there? I said, why do I keep attracting the assholes? I'm the flame.
But that's maturity and growth and... I mean, a lot of people don't get there.
Well, it takes a lot of fucking money to get there.
It sure does.
a lot of tears, time, money, to come to that that realization, even saying it.
When
still,
did it hit you? What age? It didn't hit me till my
when I walked in here.
Right when I just said it right now.
6 minutes ago, when we start.
It took me a long time for that too. Longer than I care to admit, or even your ego. Just, boy, ego is a motherfucker.
Ego's a motherfucker, and I've said it before. It comes in the way of the self, and until you really get down to the true essence of who you are, you will constantly be leading with your ego. And it's not to say that ego isn't a part of your life.
It's
that,
a health. It's certainly, a healthy yes, within it can be.
Certain,
yes.
You know, levels, but it also... You can't have it be your the way you lead in the day. You really have to strip yourself down and ask in the morning, how am I occurring in the world? What am I doing to hold myself back? And how can I start to live in a way where I live more fluidly, where I'm disciplined but also very soft with myself? It's that balance between being soft with yourself and being mm-hmm. disciplined that truly strips the ego away and you find your true self. And that relationship, the last relationship where I ended toxicity, where I was like, this is enough, was the most important relationship I've ever had in my life because of the danger, how dangerous it was. I don't know if anyone's ever dealt with somebody with borderline personality disorder.
Borderline. Not bipolar. I said
bipolar and borderline, they're very similar right. on the spectrum of, you know, mental disorders. They have a lot of crossover and they're really hard to diagnose and they're really hard to treat. Years of psychotherapy, medication, sometimes medications that don't work because SSRIs are so dangerous and they don't always have great effects and the side effects are detrimental. And sometimes the side effects will exacerbate the symptoms of the mental illness. So it's this big kaleidoscope of fuckery that if you're just a girl who wants love, it's really hard to deal with. And He was somebody who spoke a really good game. You know, he had all of the right things to say in the beginning, and he came in a really nice package and found me at a point in my life where I had an opening and snuck right in there. And a lot of the times people with borderline personality disorder, they will suck your life force. They gravitate towards people like me. I'm a bright light. I'm the fucking magic. I know that. And that's what he was trying to strip from me, mm-hmm. all of the light and the magic and trying to separate mm-hmm. me from people in my life. That's what they do. They try and isolate you. They try and separate you from your happiness and your truth, separate you from people in your life. And then they slowly start to break you down to sort of try and make you as sick as they are and start to make you question yourself and make you go, am I the one who's fucking this all up? It's a really scary relationship to be in. And I will say this, anybody listening, I realize that it's, you know, I'm glad we're talking about mental illness now in culture, But it is not your job to save somebody. They have to save themselves.
Amen.
You cannot save somebody.
Amen. And sometimes, this one was a hard one for me to learn too, some people don't want to be saved.
No.
So no matter how much you're trying, it's not that you're doing a bad job. It's that they just, they don't want to be.
They don't want to be.
They don't want to be. And when they're ready to be, they need to go do that for themselves.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes people have
100%
right. 100%. Sometimes people have diseases that don't allow them to know they need to be saved. There's no connection there.
Right.
And it got dangerous. You know, he broke into my home.
Jeez.
He tried to steal all my shit and my dogs. And
your dogs?
Yeah.
Did you, you got a restraining order?
I got a restraining order on Valentine's Day.
Because I love you. Because I love me, motherfucker.
Yeah. That, getting a restraining order on Valentine's Day.
That's the
Day,
best Valentine's Day gift you could ever give your fucking
self. That is the day I fell in love with myself. I walked out of that courthouse. I was just like, woo!
Wow.
Done. This is what it takes. Sometimes it takes, you know, you can't have a breakthrough without a breakdown. And that was my... That was one.
Say that again.
You can't have a breakthrough without a breakdown.
Yeah.
That's, you know, right, yeah, from my personal coach to your ears. You have to be broken all the way down in order to change. You have to
sit in your shit for a little while, figure out what the fuck is going on, and then get up, excuse me, and get out of it. You can't stay.
You can't stay in that shit.
Look, we're going to stop right there. That is the perfect fucking place to stop. You're going to come back. I want to do an entire episode talking about your dad and everything. I know a little bit about that. Yeah, please. We have to.
Yeah, we probably should have talk different about ones.
You're coming back a bunch.
I would love to come back.
But before you leave, I told you at the top, advice to your 16-year-old self. After everything you just told us and the age you were at the time of these things, what would you go back now with the foresight and tell yourself?
I would tell myself that you are loved and all the love you have is within yourself and that you're worth everything that you've ever imagined and that no one can strip you of your truth, your dignity, or your self-respect besides you. And to go get fingered under those bleachers.
By a sweaty high school kid.
With chimples.
With chimples.
The way God intended.
Oh, I love you. That you're fucking awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, you gave a lot here. Thank you. I appreciate you feeling comfortable enough to do that.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on having a platform to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it helps
look,
some
come
people.
Back and tell more. I know we're just scratching the surface. Unfortunately, I know.
Yeah.
I know. But will you please promote whatever you want one more time?
Check out my Sharp Tongue podcast. It's available every week, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. Also, I have Bong and Movie, BAM, on YouTube. Comes out about every Friday. And you can, what else? Check out my Patreon club, The Funhouse, the fan club, patreon.com/JessieMayPeluso. And I put exclusive videos there that you can only get there.
Awesome.
Oh, and you can call me.
Cameo.
Yeah, you can call me 513-916-0930 and you leave me a message, I'll play it on the pod.
I love it. Thank you. Seriously, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
This is awesome.
You're a good dad.
Thank you.
And a good friend.
That's
my
nice.
My hands are
you
freezing.
Are too. Thank you. Call me sometime when you're pooping, girl.
I will. I will FaceTime you.
I don't know if we're ready for that. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.